We are most appreciative to the presence of each and every one of you here this morning. We are glad that you have had the health and do have the health and have taken this opportunity to meet with those of like precious faith. We have some visitors in the audience, and we want you to know that you are our welcome guest and hope that you have opportunities to come back at other times. We meet, as will be announced later on, we meet on Sunday morning at 10 and at 10:45 and then 6 p.m. Sunday afternoon, and then on Wednesday night we meet during the middle of the week at 7:30 p.m. And so, as you have opportunity, come back and to be with us. We worship God, we believe in spirit and in truth, and we want to do those things that are pleasing in His sight. We want to come to a better knowledge of the Word of God so that we might be able to apply those things in our life and that we can help others learn what God wants man to do. We are truly thankful for the presence of all this morning. We want to spend some time, the time that we have together this morning, talking about bearing the infirmities of those who are weak. The ideal situation in any church is that whenever a person becomes a member of the body of Christ, that person will begin a growth process that they will steadily continue, and that after a number of years, they will be full-grown, mature Christians, those men and women in Christ as they ought to be. And this would be the ideal situation for each and every one of us. If a church was that way, if a church then, when they added those to their number, if those people begin to grow as they ought, if they begin to grow in faith and knowledge, and as the years went by, they strive to be complete, and they were complete people in Christ, that would be a wonderful congregation to be a part of. We would want to strive to be a part of a congregation just like that. And that would be the ideal situation for any church to be in, for all their members to go through that growth process and to reach maturity. What a church that would be if that could happen. But of course, we all know that that does not always happen. It is a reality that there are those who are strong in the faith, those who have a knowledge of the Word of God, those who can take a stand against temptation and against false doctrine. Just as there are those who do that, there are also those who are weak in the faith. There are those who do not grow to maturity as they ought. Due to several things that might have happened in their life, they fail to grow in faith. They fail to grow in knowledge, and therefore they are weak members of the body of Christ. That was a condition that existed in the first century. It is a condition that exists even today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verses 1 through 3, we find Paul writing to the saints there at Corinth, and because of the weakness of faith and knowledge that they had many problems that existed there. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal." He says there they had not grown. They had become so carnal in their thinking rather than spiritual. They were still babes in Christ, and he could not speak unto them those more difficult things and doctrines that were found in Jesus Christ, that solid food as he calls it, but he had to still speak to them in terms of milk, spiritual milk, so that they could take that and they could begin to grow. This was a problem in the first century at the church at Corinth. The time should have come that they should have reached maturity, but they did not. The writer of the book of Hebrews makes note of that in Hebrews chapter 5. In verses 12, 13, and 14, when he says just about exactly that same thing, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Because of a lack of spiritual exercise on the part of these individuals, they were still weak. This again was something that happened in the first century. But it is not isolated to that time of the first century in the New Testament church. It is something that we see throughout the history of mankind. and throughout the history of the church and even today. But all weakness is not caused simply because of a lack of knowledge. Certainly this is one of the cases with some people. They lack knowledge concerning the Word of God. And because they lack that knowledge and what the Bible has to say, they don't get help in making the decisions that they need to make in their life. And they make wrong decisions. They make wrong judgments on their part. And it leads them into those things that would be weakening to them spiritually and the weakening of their soul. It's just as children, when they grow up, there comes a time when they're going to begin to make decisions for themselves. But because of a lack of knowledge in the things in the world, a lack of experience on their part, some of their decisions are going to lead them into mistakes. They're going to be mistakes, and they're going to learn from that. It's the same with us spiritually. That if we have a lack of knowledge, from time to time, we're not going to make the best decisions in our life. Weakness comes, again, as we said, in the form of a lack of knowledge, or through allurements that are made to us by the flesh. That is, people who know what right and wrong is. They know what the Bible has to say, and they have a knowledge of the Word of God. But due to a weakness, due to a lack of strength to resist a particular temptation, they're going to give in, and they're going to become weak. As members of the same spiritual body, Paul talks about that body in Romans chapter 12, we all should have a love for one another. We should have a love and a care and a desire for one another to see that we grow spiritually, that we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are all exhorted to have this kind of care and love one for another. We are admonished, all of us, to take care of those individuals who are weak. Note with me in Romans chapter 14 and verse 1. Romans chapter 15 and verse 1, what Paul has to say to the saints there at Rome. He says in Romans 14 and 1, and we're going to concentrate on the weak brother here. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. Paul is giving instruction to the saints there in Rome, and he's saying to that church, those who are weak, you receive in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. Don't just let them in so that you can argue and you can debate what they're doing and what they're thinking and their particular beliefs are. That's not why you let them in. That's not why you ought to be consider them a part of the church there. Receive those who are weak in the faith. And in the 15th chapter in verse 1, we then who are strong ought to bear the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Again, instructions to the saints there in Rome, those who are strong in the faith. He says, concerning those that are weak, you are to bear their infirmities or to bear their scruples. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. Paul also said to the church in Galatia, in Galatians chapter 6 and verses 1 and 2, something along the same lines. He says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering you yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law. Here again is instruction by the inspired apostle Paul to the saints or the churches in Galatia concerning the weak and the strong, those who have fallen into temptation, and the regard or what is to be the course of the action of those who are strong. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14, we have along the same lines the Holy Spirit through the same apostle Paul saying, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. Here are instructions that are given to the first century churches, but instruction that is given to us today concerning those that are weak. And if we consider ourselves strong in the faith, then we need to take heed to what Paul is having to say here. One of the strongest rebukes that ever came from Jesus came in Luke chapter 11 and verse 46, where he made a statement to the lawyers, the scribes and the Pharisees, and he says unto them, woe unto you, you lawyers, you scribes, you Pharisees, for you load men with burdens hard to bear, and you yourself do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. It seems that these individuals who were lawyers, who knew the law of Moses, who had a knowledge of the thing that God wanted the children of Israel to do under that law, what they were striving to do was they were striving to teach others the law. And they made that law such a burden to other people, those people were not able to bear that. They added more to it by their traditions. And in respect to what they taught others, these lawyers would not help them at all. They would not help them with that burden that they gave unto them, nor would they, the lawyers themselves, or the scribes and Pharisees, live by this standard that they expected everybody else to live by. Sounds like some strong Christians that we've run across today, doesn't it? They're ready to tell others what they need to do, what they should do, but they're not ready to help that individual in carrying out that, nor are they themselves willing to do it. No one has ever demanded a higher standard of conduct and behavior than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He set the highest standard that we can live by. There is not one established by man that can be any higher than that, and of course then bring spiritual life. Jesus demands the highest standard, but he also provides help for us in living up to that standard. In Matthew chapter 11 and verses 28 through 30, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Christ understood the law that he was giving unto man, that it would make man, give him the highest standard to live by. But he was willing to help man achieve that standard and live up to those goals that he had set. As one of his disciples, we can do no less than what our Lord has done, and that is to help others live up to the standard that has been given. What are the infirmities of the weak that others ought to bear? As we mentioned there in Romans chapter 15 and verse 1, "We then who are strong ought to bear the scruples or the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves." The word infirmity there just simply means a want of strength, a weakness on the part of another individual, or the inability to produce results or the desired results. That's all the weakness has to do here, or the infirmity has to do here, in speaking of what Paul had to say. And he's saying here that the strong must support the infirmities of those who are weak. And I believe, as we're going to see, it is by submitting to self-restraint or self-discipline on the part of those individuals who are strong in the faith. There are those who are members of the body of Christ who have not grown, who are perhaps still babes in Christ, and they have a weakness that those who are strong need to help them with. There is a weakness on the part of some individuals in faith. They are, or they have, a weakness of faith. As one is born into the family of God, there is a growth process that everybody, I don't care who you are, that everybody has to go through. We are all going to go, or should go through, that spiritual growth process. No one is born into the kingdom of God a full-grown, mature man or woman. Just as there has been nobody, or is nobody now, who have been born physically into this world as a full-grown person. We see in the very beginning with Adam and Eve that's probably the way that they were, with a miracle of God. And maybe in the beginning of the church, when we see the disciples there, as they were given, or they had gifts of the Holy Spirit and knowledge was given unto them, they had knowledge in a special way, but I am still convinced they had a growth process that they had to go through. Nobody is born into the family of God full grown. Every one of us has to go through a growth process. As we said, this is true with physical children. Child is born into the world, and we can see it grow. We can see the stages that it goes through. This is the way that it should be spiritually. There are stages of growth in this process that we go to in reaching maturity. There is a weakness physically, there is a weakness spiritually that must be turned into strength, that must be turned into maturity. And as we study the Word of God, we grow. We exercise ourselves in godliness, and slowly the weakness of faith goes away and we become stronger. Our faith becomes stronger as we live day to day by the will of God, and our trust and our confidence in Him is stronger and stronger and stronger. And I am convinced that is the way God intended for it to be. He intended for us to go through this growth process, that we do start off weak in faith, but we reach a point of where we are mature. But we are all too aware that this does not always happen, does it? Some people remain weak years upon years upon years. And as the writer of the book of Hebrews says, there ought to be a time, or the time has come when you ought to be teachers. You ought to be of such knowledge and faith and strength that you can teach others, that you still have to be taught yourself some of the basic principles. This ought not to be, but there are some people who simply do not grow in faith. This is a fact. There will, and at all times, I am convinced that there are going to be some who are weak in the faith. Weak in the faith simply because they're babes in Christ, but weak in the faith also because they have not taken the opportunity to grow. It is easy sometimes for those who are, quote, strong in the faith, to begin to despise and reproach those who are weak in the faith. It sometimes becomes very easy for those who, again, are, quote, again, strong, to show unconcern for those individuals simply by saying that, well, we knew they didn't have what it takes. We knew that they were going to fall. We knew that the temptations of the world were going to be too much for them, and they were going to go back into the world, or they were never going to grow. We look at them as sometimes, as the sower was, as spoken of in Luke chapter 8, in the parable of the sower, that they were like the soil that was just had very little ground upon a rock bed here. And they received the word gladly, and the word sprang up, but because of a lack of depth in the soil, they withered away. And we might begin to say, quote, those who are strong in the faith, that, well, we knew that about them. Or they're like the soil where the seed was planted among the thorns, and they begin to grow, but the cares of the world begin to choke that word out. And we knew the allurements of the world was going to pull them back. We knew they were weak in the faith. After all, those people just had too many problems in which they had to overcome. For too many, it never occurs that the strong in the faith might have had opportunity to help that person, to overcome the weakness that they had, and to make their burden just a little bit lighter. Unfortunately, we find some who are strong who are just like that. They don't have time to help those that are weak. And it doesn't occur to them that a little bit of help on their part would have been of great aid and support to get that person through some very rough times. The example that we can see of Peter and also of Jesus, as Peter was walking on the water, this is the example that we need to follow. In Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 29, 30, and 31, we find there, as Christ was walking upon the water, the disciples saw him. And Peter wanted to know, well, who is this? And he says, it's Christ. And he says, it's you. Let me come to you. Peter stepped down in the water, and he began to come to Christ. But as he saw the tempest about him, he became afraid, and he began to seek, and he cried out for help. Here was one who was strong, that is, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, one who seemed to have faith in him, but that faith being tested. And he says of little faith, what little faith he had. And as he began to sink, the strong reached out. and helped that individual that was weak and led him to safety. This is the example that we need to follow. He helped him in his weakness of faith. Can we do any less for those who have not shown the proper kind of growth in faith in Jesus Christ? Can we do any less than what our Savior did? Can we despise them? Can we ridicule them? Or should we provide as much help as we possibly can, and as much help as they will allow us to give to them? I think we see the options we have here and what we need to do. We need to help those who are weak in the faith. We must remember that all of us at one time were babes in Christ. We were weak in the faith. We were learning the Word of God. We were striving to grow and to gain strength. And I'm sure as we look back in our life, we can say, someone helped us. Someone helped us along that pathway to maturity. And we're thankful to them for whatever help that they have given. I'm thankful to my parents and to my family. I'm thankful to a lot of brethren who have helped me over some rough spots in my life. And I'm sure if you can go back in your life, you can think of the same thing. We need to help others as others have helped us. They're going to be those who are weak in the faith. And those who are strong need to bear the infirmities of those who are weak. There's also going to be a weakness, as we have already mentioned, in the part of some, a weakness of knowledge of the Word of God. And those who are strong need to help with those who are weak in knowledge. One of the most common causes of weakness comes from this. People don't know the Word of God. Not knowing what God demands of them, not knowing the Word and how to apply that Word in their life. I'm convinced that some of the problems at Corinth arose from this. They didn't have a knowledge of what God wanted them to do and how to apply that knowledge in day-to-day situations. There was trouble that arose at the church at Corinth concerning the eating of meats that had been offered unto idols. Some of those individuals who were members of the body of Christ there at Corinth through a weakness of knowledge, thought that it was sinful for them to eat such meat. They didn't have a knowledge. Their knowledge was that it was wrong for them to eat that meat which had been offered unto idols. Others, through knowledge, were aware that it was not sinful for them to do that. So others, lacking knowledge, thought it was wrong. Those who had knowledge realized that it was not wrong. And when these two groups came into interaction one with another, we find that the problem arose. There could have been Jews there who thought that eating of certain meats was wrong, that the law of Moses bound upon them that they could not eat certain unclean meat. The Gentiles looked at that and they said, well, there's nothing wrong with that. It could have been also the other way around, with Gentiles who saw this meat that had been offered unto idols, thought that it was devoted to that idol and you'd given homage and honoring that idol. Whereas the Jews would look at it and say there's nothing really in and of itself right or wrong with that meat which had been offered unto idols. As a result, there was a problem. The knowledge was that God had made all meat clean. God had established that that was the way that it was going to be. That was the knowledge that he had given. And whether it had been offered unto a god didn't make it any better or any worse. But those who lacked knowledge, those who were weak in those instructions, thought it was wrong. And as a result then, there was a problem that arose. But if you've ever studied this in 1 Corinthians, you ever asked yourself the question of the two groups that were there, those that were weak and those that were strong, of the two groups, which instruction did Paul give, or which group did Paul give the more instruction to? Was it the weak or was it the strong? Well, I think as we study through this particular problem that they had there, we find that the more instruction was given unto the strong brother, not unto the weak brother. Paul did reveal the truth on the matter. He told them that God made all meat clean and there was nothing right or wrong within that itself. He revealed that truth. He told them that the strong were right in their assumptions and in their teachings and instructions. But the more instruction was given to the strong. He says the first step in settling this problem was to be taken by those who were strong in the faith. He says to those, you bear the infirmities of the weak. It seems to me that the Holy Spirit must have thought it more important to teach the stronger brother to be long-suffering and loving than it was to take this weaker brother out here who lacked knowledge and immediately straighten him out on the thing. You know, that's the approach a lot of people take nowadays in the church. They'll find a weak brother, knowledge that he has, and they'll want to take him immediately and they want to straighten him out on the particular matter. The Holy Spirit dealt with it in another way here. He was teaching the stronger brother, first of all, you bear the infirmities of that one who is weak in knowledge. You be long-suffering and you be loving toward him. It was the responsibility then of the weak to be the peacemaker. He was the one then that was to show the self-restraint and the self-discipline in getting this particular problem solved. There's going to be those who are weak in knowledge. And those who are strong in knowledge have a greater obligation upon them to see that the problem is solved. Have you ever wondered why Paul addressed the strong brother? I'm sure that as we look at this, as well as we look at any other issue, that both sides thought they were right. Neither one considered themselves the weaker brother. That both sides considered themselves right. You know, we don't want to do anything that's wrong. And so those that were refraining from the eating of meat and those that were eating the meat, I'm sure they thought they were right. Paul addressed the stronger brother to solve this matter. Not many would have listened to Paul if he says, now here's what I want you weak brethren to do. Because they thought they were right. Both sides were. So he addressed the stronger. And in so doing, he assured for himself that there was going to be an end to the matter. The problem was going to be solved. That both sides would have tried to show love for one another, striving to come to a fuller knowledge of what the Bible had to say and what God wanted them to do. It should be that those who are weak ought not to be discouraged by a display of superior knowledge or intellect on the part of those who have a stronger knowledge concerning the Word of God. Unfortunately, that happens sometimes. Those who have the knowledge want to show that knowledge off. And they want to, in some ways, discourage and dishearten those who have a weak knowledge. The weak should be given time to learn, to be taught what the truth is. But the strong should be prepared to sacrifice in order to bear the infirmities of those that are weak. Finally, there are those who are weak, not only in faith and knowledge, but also they are weak in the flesh. In Galatians chapter 6 and verses 1 and 2, as we read just a few moments ago, Paul makes the statement there that those that are overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering your own selves also. We find, unfortunately, there is a division of chapters here, and it is likely, I believe that I'm right in this, that as we look at the end of chapter 5, he's talking about walking in the Spirit and walking by the flesh. And he's telling them not to walk according to the flesh. And then he begins to talk about that individual who is overtaken in a trespass or in a fault. It is likely that Paul is addressing himself to a weakness of the flesh here. That there are those who are going to fall because of temptation. Because they do not have the strength to overcome the allurements of the flesh. He had just urged them to walk after the Spirit, producing the fruits of the Spirit. And so the weakness of the flesh was probably in mind here. Certainly all weaknesses would be considered. And he is telling them there, those who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. There are those who are going to fall because of a weakness of flesh. They're not going to have the strength to stand up against those two temptations. All too often, it has been seen that Christians show sometimes nothing but disdain for those who are Christians who have fallen because of some weakness of the flesh. We have seen this time and time again in far too many churches. Someone is overtaken, and instead of that being handled in a loving and a caring way, talk will start. There may be even gossip. That individual will no longer be befriended as someone that they can trust because they have been overtaken in a false. Why do some become so unloving and callous toward a weakness in the flesh? Not that we are to condone weaknesses and uphold those, but why do we become so callous and unloving because someone has been overtaken? And again, we've seen that time and time again. Perhaps it is because some are too spiritually proud to realize that they themselves might have that same weakness. Notice what Paul said here in the latter part of that verse 6 and 1 of Galatians, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Think about yourself in this situation. There's going to be those who are weak in the flesh, and we cannot uphold and we cannot condone that, but we cannot become calloused and unloving as a result of that. We cannot become like the older brother in the parable of the prodigal son. What did he say? When he came to his father and mad because his father had received his son back and was now having a party for him, he said he would have never done such a thing to his father as his brother did. He didn't consider his own weaknesses in this matter. We must have sympathy. Again, we cannot condone those who fall into temptation, but we must have sympathy because we possibly ourselves could be in that same place. But the kind of pride that most people demonstrate sometimes is not one that will help others. That kind of pride only makes matters worse. There are those who are weak in the flesh who are going to fall as a result of temptation. But there's something that the strong are to do. Those who are strong in the faith, those who are strong in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and those who have been able to withstand the temptations of the flesh, there are things that those strong people can do in regard to those and bearing the infirmities of those that are weak. As long as the gospel of Jesus Christ is taught, there are going to be people in the body of Christ who are children of God, who are babes in Christ. There's going to be weaknesses that everybody must share, especially those who are strong. It is an obligation of those who are strong that they are to help those who are weak. Those who are strong just simply cannot stand off, aloof, doing nothing, and helping those not at all who are weak. The strong cannot shirk their responsibility, because when they do, that kind of an attitude damages them, and it damages the church for which our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ died. We have a responsibility, the strong do toward those that are weak, to help bear their infirmities. As we have heard mentioned from time to time in prayers, we're all in this together. It's an uneven pathway that we walk, and we need the strength and the encouragement from one another. Because at one time we've received help from others. Maybe even in the future we're going to have to receive help. We need to support one another in striving to get to heaven. If you're here this morning and not a child of God, the song has been selected. And by that song, we're going to stand in just a few moments and we're going to sing it. And perhaps it is that you would like to be added to the body of Christ this morning. You won't join yourself to the church. You'll be added to it because you're obedient unto the gospel of Christ. Because of faith, a strength of faith, that of repentance, confession, that of being baptized for the remission of your sins, you'll be in the body of Christ. You'll be a child of God, newborn babe, beginning your growth process toward maturity, toward being strong in faith and knowledge, being able to stand against the flesh. That's what you need to do this morning. If that is, then this is the time to do it. Don't put it off any longer. God is extending an invitation. Won't you take him up on it? He sent his son so that that invitation might come in person to each and every one of us. The invitation is extended. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?